This is the last Sunday that we're doing parenting with purpose. And we have looked at a number of different subjects. I want to encourage you, if you missed a Sunday or two, get the CDs. You can download them on our website, mlfc.org. But last week, and for a couple of weeks, we said if you have any questions on parenting, to submit them. And so we had close to 200 questions. And what we did in first service is we didn't get through them all. So we are going to use second service as basically part two. All right. So we would encourage you get the other questions from the first service. We normally don't do this, but we're actually going to have two separate groups of information in first and second service. So we want to look at a number of these issues, and really there were some incredible questions, but also I would say our heart is also heavy in that there were a lot of questions that came from some real troubled situations and some real hurting families and some brokenness. And, you know, there were a lot of questions that as I read them, I just wanted to give somebody a hug. And we want to let you know that Pastor Haley and I and this church, we really love you. And if you're going through a really, really tough time with kids, parenting, and a family situation, God is a way maker. He is the answer. And His Word and His Holy Spirit can bring an answer into your situation regardless of how bad it looks.
Yeah. And He has the grace that you need to get back on track with your kids as well. His grace is sufficient. It's there, and you've just got to call out for it, and He will be there to help you. And again, like he said, if you missed some of the series, go get it, because I think there's a lot of wisdom in there as well. So, yeah, this is called part two. We've also asked the bookshop to get a lot of part ones ready if you want to grab that one today as well. And so the first question is, my question focuses on women. And as a woman, how do you strike a balance between being a parent and having a career? I love work. I love having a career, but during my children's younger years and then into high school, things changed a bit. They still came first. I did work full-time, but they came first. And so I would drive them to school in the morning, come into the church and work. I'd pick them up from school, and when dinner was over and then they were in bed, I went back to work in my office at home. All right? They did come first. As they've left home now, and so it's just the two of us, I would say I'm actually finally working some more. And I'm about to start my master's and go and get some other things that I've had in my heart for a long time. But I put those things on hold until they finish school. So there's a way to do it. And I also just think, trust God for a job to help you spend more time with them. Okay, you trust God for that job. And I've seen miraculous things happen with different people who purposed to put their children first. And then God made a way for them with their job.
I know something as a mom that Pastor Haley also did a lot is she got involved at the kids' school. From nursery school all the way through secondary school. So she was there, okay? And she was involved in their lives and friends' lives as a coach, as a helper, and so she was connected there in a big way. All right. Another question is, how do I discipline my child who knows that their father is an unfaithful father and knows his girlfriends, and the father keeps talking about faithfulness? Okay. So what if one of the parents is sinful, all right? You still have to preach the Word of God. You still have to model the Word of God. And it certainly helps if your spouse is doing the same thing. But if they're not, you still do it, okay? Now, you don't have to make a villain out of your sinning spouse, okay? But you still need to make it clear to your kids what is God's ways and what are the right things according to His Word. And so that is a very tough situation. And you still need to help your child honor that other parent because they have a command from the Word of God to honor your father, honor your mother. All right. Even if they're sinful, we still honor them. But don't back up from the Word of God. Okay, if one spouse is an alcoholic, if you're not, you tell your kids the dangers of alcohol. You tell them what God has to say about it, that it's not meant for leaders. It's not meant for people who are going to influence the world. Well, dad does it. Well, this is what God says.
Right. Don't cover their sin.
Yeah.
Don't cover it and hide it from your kids. Okay. But at the same time, don't be a villain to your spouse as well. And,
yeah.
you keep directing them to God.
So we had kind of in line with that. There were a number of questions. We talked last week when it came to discipline. We talked about that discipline is about truth and grace at the same time in the same person. Okay, so we don't want truth dad and grace mom or vice versa. So there were a lot of questions about, well, you know, what if we're not in agreement? What if the mom and dad are not on the same page when it comes to training, when it comes to discipline, when it comes to a whole lot of these things? So we want to speak to a number of those questions.
Yeah, okay? And I think there's a two-way street here. If both spouses are sitting in church, you're both believers and you're in church, you guys need to go work this out together. You're following Jesus. You're coming to church. You've heard this series. Go figure this out together. Go lock yourself in your bedroom until you do. All right? Now, on the other hand, if one of you is at church and the others doesn't come to church, then as the parent that understands this, you still have to continue to give truth and grace. Regardless of what your spouse is doing, you still need to do what the Bible says. You've still got to follow God's ways. And our children need both truth and grace. But the ultimate, again, is try to work that out. Go fight until you get it right. Okay? If you're both believers, figure this out together.
Yeah.
Talk to each other about it.
Right. Now, at the same time, there were also some questions about allowing sin in your home. So there was a question about a husband and wife, they've got a child, but then the dad had a child from a previous relationship. That child, that son is grown and now is living at home with his live-in girlfriend, living in open sin in fornication. What should I do as the mom? Throw a fit.
It's your home too.
Put your foot down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just want peace. Well, there'll be peace when the sin is out of your house.
Yeah.
Okay?
Or, well, my husband said. No, it's both of your houses.
Yeah.
It's your house together.
Yeah.
Okay?
But so
you don't allow sin in your house.
Don't allow that kind of stuff in your house. Okay? And again, talk about it. But you know, a situation like that, I just encourage you, don't quit talking about it until you get the right way. Okay? So if you want to have a live-in girlfriend, you're a grown man, you can do that, but not under our roof. We're not going to be paying for that. We're not going to allow that in our home. Well, he doesn't have anywhere to live. Well, that young man is a very irresponsible young man, both financially and sexually. And he needs to grow up. Okay?
And by allowing him to stay there, you're encouraging that. You're encouraging the irresponsibility and the sin. So, yeah, he needs to go.
Yeah. All right. Proverbs 6:20. Somebody brought this up. There's a translation that says, you know, a father commands and the mother teaches. And so the idea, well, shouldn't the father be the commander and the mother be the teacher? Well, that's really just one translation, because other translation talks about the command of the father and the law of the mother. Okay. Another translation says you both command and teach. All right. So really what that verse is saying is that we, as a child, we are learning and we're following the word of God that was taught and commanded from our mom and dad, from our parents. Okay. So, it's not about each one doing, it's not meant to say that one does one thing and the other does another thing.
You both command, you both teach.
Right. Another really, really great question here about, again, kind of maybe parents not being on the same page, that there's an 11-year-old child in the home and the school where they're going to talks about evolution, that God is not the creator of the earth. And so one parent said, you know, well, we need to teach him the Bible. The other parent said, well, no, just let her decide for herself. Okay. Well, when it comes to algebra, you know, and maybe English literature or something like that, that is, we could say, almost, you know, biblically neutral, sure, let a kid's intellect grow and learn, all right? But we need to bring the Bible into their learning. We need to do that. And so at our home, we would have lots of discussions when they would hear about, you know, women's rights and gay rights and this and all the different issues that come up these days, is we would say, okay, what does God have to say? You know, here's what your atheist teacher has to say, who is completely godless.
Actually,
here's what Jesus says.
Our kids got to a place in school, there was an atheist teacher, and yeah. she would say, Jessica, now from your biblical perspective, what do you think? Because Jess had spoken up so much, and Jessica started sharing with the class. The teacher allowed her to do that.
Yeah, she said, what do you say? And then one time they invited me to come. That was
awesome.
And
you did a whole class.
Had a big fun.
But let me just say this. When I was in fourth grade, yeah, it was really awesome. Mm. When I was in fourth grade, I was taking the test on evolution. And I, you know, I liked to get good grades. I knew what the teacher wanted to hear. And I marked all the answers that she wanted to hear. And I put a big note on it. And I said, I've marked the answers so that I get a good grade. I don't believe any of this. I'm a Christian, and I believe in Jesus. And I got 100%. But I let it be known, I don't believe this stuff. Okay? So for one, you know, for a parent to say, I want them to come to their own beliefs, that's our job, is to guide them that way. But yeah. To the place where they don't believe it because mom and dad said so, but they believe it for themselves. They believe right. The Bible for themselves. Yeah. So we need to guide them that way.
Teach them to know it. Teach them to believe it. And at age 11, that is not where they are intellectually independent.
Right.
Okay? They need input from mom and dad from the Word of God and from the Bible.
Okay, all on right? Lots of questions on discipline. We taught on that last week, so just go buy the CD because we just have too many questions.
Yeah, there were questions about spanking and age and all that kind of stuff. So we really tried to cover everything that we could. And so that would be week number 6 to get that. All right. Also, lots of questions about dependence. Okay, so this is not adoption. These are not stepkids, and we want to look at that as well. But where, you know, the extended family, you're looking after nieces and nephews, sometimes even older brothers and siblings, all right? And so while that can be a very good thing, and kids are looked after, I think we all realize that it can also get very complicated, okay? And it can also have some very tough issues. I know this is just, it's not really a parenting thing. It evolves into a parenting thing. But if you're going to bring dependence into your home, moms and dads, please, please be in agreement, husband and wife. Husband and wife. There are times where, you know, I remember years and years ago, you know, the wife was mad at her husband, and so she just went and got 2 dependents from her family to kind of spite him. And it didn't bless the marriage, and it didn't. So they worked their way through that and everything. But, you know, if you can do it and you want to do it and you can afford to do it. But let it be a husband and wife in agreement together. All right? Well, but the family has decided. Well, they may have made a decision, but you have to accept that decision. And you may or may not want to do that. Talked to a gentleman here at church one time years ago, where, you know, there were a lot of, you know, dependents on his family, and he felt, you know, it was better to do it in his stage of life to help them financially where they were rather than to bring them all from the four corners of Zambia to their home in Lusaka, okay? And so, again, you can still provide care and love. But so when it comes to these things, it is a huge challenge. So one thing we want you to realize is that, so especially when you have your own kids, because you've raised them from birth, you've raised them from babies, okay? And now you're bringing in a child who has not lived in your home for 6 years, 12 years, 16 years, okay? Something you're going to have to accept as parents is they will be different, okay? They will not have the same values. They will not have the same habits. They may not have the same view about a whole lot of life. Okay, and so you are going to have to be very, very patient, Okay? To expect them to change overnight to be like your kids or the way this house is very, it's unrealistic. Okay? Because it took them 8 years to get that way. Okay? And really, if you're bringing in maybe somebody who's 16 years old, chances are they're not going to change. Okay? The ability for you to mold them once they've already been stuck in certain ways. So, yes, you need to be patient and you need to be aware of that. But then also, obviously, you need to protect your family. And there needs to be some very clear cut yes and no. All right. So, again, when it comes to certain, you know, morality and sins, hey, you may have been raised that way, but here we don't do that.
Yeah. When they first come into your home, sit down with them, spend time with them, telling them the rules in your home, the values in your home. We go to church on Sunday mornings. You will be coming with us. It's not an option. All right? You're very clear with them from the very beginning. And really, before they come into your home, you and your spouse need to be in agreement first. Okay? So it starts there. But what you don't want to bring them into your home and feel like a second-class citizen. Okay? So you've given birth to your kids. Now you've got the nieces and nephews coming in, and they're treated like second-rate citizens. I think this probably broke my heart more than any other of the questions I was reading. Well, how can I love them the same? Well, how can this? And just that song that we sang this morning, your love never fails. You never give up. Talking about our Heavenly Father, He's never given up on me. All right? He loves me unconditionally. So I'm going to take in this child that I didn't give birth to, but they come into my home. Yeah, I'm going to love them the same as my own son and my own daughter. If you can't do that, I would advise you not to bring them into your home. Because they feel it. They feel the lack of love that's not being given to them. They feel it. Yeah. All right? And I just think, I think they're better off somewhere else than being in your home if you can't show them the same love and give them the same food and give them the clothes that they need on their back and a bed to sleep in.
Right. We have to, you realize everyone in this room that's in the family of God, we're all adopted. We were all born into the family of sin. Satan was our father. And God rescued us. And we are now one in Christ. And He makes us His own sons and He makes us His own daughters. And I know many times with dependents, it's not an official adoption. Okay, we understand that. But they should feel the same amount of love. All right? And man, what a way for you to redeem a bad situation that happened in your family. And maybe there was a death, maybe there was sin, maybe something happened. But boy, I tell you what, when this is done well, and I've seen it done well at our church, it is so wonderful. Yeah. And it's so awesome to see how God can use you as an uncle, as an auntie, as someone that wasn't, you know, you didn't give birth to that child, but you changed their destiny forever. Amen. And so let God help you.
I think the other side of this is it's also where a lot of sexual defilement happens as well. So you're bringing these older teenagers into your home and you've got younger children and some bad things can happen too. And you've got to be very aware of who those kids are and what they're doing. And you've got to provide protection if it's necessary. But don't go into this with your eyes closed. All right? Yeah. But there is so much, I mean, even cousin-to-cousin defilement and homosexual activity and abuse. And we know about it because we deal with a lot of it.
Yeah.
All right? So be very, very careful with that as well.
Yeah. So our advice on that one is don't trust your kids with their cousins.
Yep. Yeah. For real.
Okay. Don't trust them. Yep. All right. And you may say, oh, well, you know, it's a guy, you know, he's an 18-year-old guy. And I'm leaving him with my 6-year-old son. He doesn't really look gay or anything. Well, it unfortunately, folks, it happens. It happens. Oh, no, you know, they've never been exposed to that. They've never been to the UK. No, it happens, okay, and it happens within our borders, okay? So be aware of that. Keep your eyes open, okay? And so we need to protect girls, but we also need to protect the boys as well. Okay. Another area that it's different than dependents. Okay. It's got some similarities, but stepchildren. Okay. So where a mom has kids and a father might have kids from previous relationships. Now they get married. And so it's what we call a blended family. Okay. So now you've got a stepdad or you've got step siblings, stepbrothers and sisters. Yeah. I grew up with that. I had half brothers, mm-hmm. and then a stepbrother who became a full brother, and then it's all good.
But with this, there's a lot of marital breakups that happen from this as well, or rejected children. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Because you've got this new stepchild in your life. And dad doesn't like the new stepchild and really treats them poorly again. And then it causes marital relationships, marital problems within the relationship. And then either breakups happen one way or another. Sometimes the kids are kicked out, which is just horrible again. Or sometimes that marriage doesn't work. So, again, this stuff, it's got to get sorted out before you bring these blended families together. You've got to be very clear, and not just with your words, but with your actions as well.
Yep. So something that you can do is before you get married, if there are going to be kids coming into the marriage, is have a chat. Oh, we're in love. We're in love. Okay, well, awesome. That's great you're in love. But let's talk about this. You know, where are the kids going to go to school? Where are they going to live? Let's go ahead and have these. There might be some difficult conversations before you say, I do. All right. And you may need to do that with a pastor or counselor that can help you to navigate through that. Now,
I've even heard of kids where the wife brings these three kids in and the husband, you know, he's all great before the wedding day. And then as soon as the kids come in, he's already figured out where they're going to boarding school and he ships them off. That's not right. It's not right. So you really better know these things. And I would say this. I would challenge if you're getting into this situation, I think you need to, depending on the age of your children, really decide, is this really a good thing for my kids right now, or do I need to wait? Do I just need to wait till my kids are older and they're out of the home, and then maybe I'll look at marriage again then? I don't know.
So we want to pass on some, because Christian psychologists, counselors that deal with this in a lot of ways, some great advice that they have. So when a stepchild is younger, okay, so they're a baby, they're one, they're two, okay, they, in kind of some senses, they kind of don't know who their mom or dad is, okay? And so if that new husband, that new wife wants to be the mom or the dad, then they can really attach emotionally to that new parent, okay? But if they've grown up without a mom or a dad, or a different mom or a dad, okay, so my mom got remarried when I just met you. So I was 19 years old. My little brother was 15. She got remarried to a guy. I had a dad. You know, and thankfully he didn't say, well, I'm your new father, okay? I don't want you to be my father. You're not my father. And so it was good. We were good. We were friends. We were cordial. He was nice to you.
Yeah, but you were also in college. So yeah. He was away. His brother
was
in the house.
And he was good to my brother,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he was a good man.
It was healthy. Yeah. But don't. But really, here's the advice: is if a child is somewhat old, so they're 10 years up, don't try to be the new dad.
Yeah.
Don't try to be the new mom, because you're not. And they know it, okay? And when it comes to discipline, and this is a real easy way to implement this, is let the blood parent that has grown up with that child be the disciplinarian for that child. Don't try to be a step-parent disciplinarian. Because usually there's one parent who's maybe more harsh, the other one is not. You're not going to do that. Why are you wearing those clothes? Well, wait a second. I haven't known you for 16 years, sir. Let the mom, if the mom is the mom, let her deal with that. And so that really, really helps in a blended family, is to let the real parent, the blood parent, go ahead and continue to be the primary source of disciplinarian. And then the step parent can just kind of be a nice person, you know, and an encourager, okay? But it really causes a lot of problems. And we've talked to some of you who grew up as the stepchild. Yeah. And boy, you faced a lot of challenges.
And I think if you just take yourself back there in your own upbringing, I think it'll remind you of how you felt. Yeah. So that you can do it differently if this comes into your life as well.
Yeah. So another question was about, and what this person used was the baby dad, the baby father. Okay. So it's a lady who has, wasn't going to get married, but here's the father of the child, and he just comes around. And he's not coming around to help, be a father or to give money. He just wants to come for sex again. All right. You need to communicate very clearly that, hey, I sinned. I was wrong. What happened was because I compromised my faith in Jesus, or I wasn't even born again at the time. If you are interested in coming here for sex, hit the road, Jack. All right. And ladies, let me just tell you this. You need to be as firm with a man as you can until he understands. Look him in the face. Delete his name from your cell phone. Okay? All right? And you messed up. It was wrong what you did. And he needs to have no uncertain communication from you that is not happening again. All right? Now, in Lusaka, unfortunately, a lot of times this sex and affection that's not right, it's not in the covenant of marriage, it also comes with money. Well, I'll take care of this, I'll pay for the blah blah blah. And if you don't open up the bedroom, then there's no more money. Fine. Take your money and go. Yes, take your money and go. I don't sin anymore. I'm redeemed. I don't live that lifestyle anymore, sir. Can you understand that? Amen. Well, I don't want to hurt his feelings. Hurt his feelings, crush his ego. All right?
And some of you women, it's not for the money, but you're lonely.
Yeah.
You miss having a man next to you. And you need to get yourself whole in him,
mm-hmm.
Okay? But you're giving in because he just made you feel good. And let's go have another step and let's just sin again.
Yeah.
And sin again and sin again. And you've got to get whole in Christ. And you need to have authentic, female, healthy relationships. And when I'm saying authentic, I'm not talking about all this surfacey stuff that all these men and women do right now. It's just surfacey. You don't even know each other. But you need to have women that know you and love you, and they'll give you truth and grace, and they'll make you feel great in your life. All right?
Yeah.
It's called Jesus with skin on. That's what we all need in our lives. All right? And so find that in your life. Don't find this man that just wants to have sex with you. All right?
Yeah.
You need to lay that stuff down and never go back there again.
It's not going to fulfill the need that you have.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you want to, with a step parent, you still want the child to have a relationship with the other person. Okay. And I was thankful that my parents did that. And obviously they didn't like each other anymore and they didn't live with each other anymore. But they never restricted me from seeing the other parent, okay? And even when they were in disagreement, my dad would think, mom's doing that. And my mom would think, dad's doing that. But they allow, and I needed that in my life. And so allow your kids to still have a relationship with the spouse that it didn't work out for you, but they still need them in their life, okay?
There's a question about culture. How do you combine culture and the Bible in parenting? And again, we're just going to refer you back to the CD on teaching. And again, you know, simply put, as long as culture is in alignment with the Bible, fine. There's a lot of culture that's not. Okay? So go get that teaching from the bookshop on teaching.
Yeah.
All right?
All right. Education. Education. So we want our kids to be prepared for life. And so this is not the training that happens in the home, but this is a school. All right. So there was a question about a boarding school. Well, that's not in the Bible. It's a personal preference. Okay. What I would encourage, and I've seen this with parents where we went to a Christian university. And what we saw was that there were parents who really had been poor parents. Okay. And their kids were reprobates. But they were Christians. So they sent their kids to this Christian university to hopefully fix their kids. They never got fixed. Okay? It actually just made things really bad. So if boarding school is the right option, realize that you still need to be a parent. You still need to give guidance. You still need to be involved in your child's life, helping him make decisions. Okay? Don't use that as a way to abscond your responsibility. Okay. Well, no, but you know, those Catholic nuns, they'll sort her out, you know. Well, thank God for Catholic nuns, but you be the parent. Okay. And so sometimes it's irresponsibility that causes that. Now, this is my opinion, our opinion. All right. And I saw a study in on the BBC about this, that kids that are little in primary school, they develop problems if they're at boarding schools. Okay? They don't know how to emotionally attach in life. Okay?
There's actually studies done on this.
Yeah.
That when you send them to boarding school too early, there's big time underdevelopment that occurs.
Because they're scared and they're little and they're big kids and they need a mommy and they need a daddy. And so that's my opinion on that.
And then,
all right?
And then if you send your older kids, I'm just going to tell you up front, they will be bombarded with pornography. They will be bombarded with substance abuse. All of that stuff will be greater in their face. And instead of having mom and dad where they come home to, they go back to the hostel with a bunch of boys and one person that oversees 30 or 40 kids. Okay, so the attention that they need during that time, it's not going to be as available. So if you do send them to boarding school, be very involved with their life. Go to their events if you can. When they're home, you sit with them and you spend time with them and you understand and know what they've been getting involved with and find those things out.
Yeah.
All right.
And we realize it's a tough balance, yeah. and a tough call many, many times at that age. All right. Family planning. How does God view family planning? So birth control, all right? How many kids to have, all right? I really, really appreciate the Catholic Church when it comes to taking a stance on abortion and that life begins at conception. And man, I tell you what, I hope they never change their mind because they are holding back darkness on planet Earth right now with a billion Catholic people. Listening that believe the Pope. So I'm so glad that they still have that stance. All right. We would differ. We would feel that family planning, birth control, that a life hasn't been conceived yet. And so we've got books in the bookshop. You can see a doctor on how not to get pregnant if you're married. All right. And so how do you decide on how many kids to have? All right. So here's just some thoughts. It is a personal preference. Okay. And it is the personal preference of the husband and the wife.
Together.
Not the in-laws. Okay? And I know, you know, we didn't grow up in Zambia, but we did have some pressure. You know, we want more grandbabies. Why are you only having two kids? And so, but just realize, it's your decision, all right? I would ask you, be prayerful about it. Be honest with each other about it. You know, we had some long, long conversations about that, and where we came into agreement. There was one question to say, well, why did you guys stop at two? Well,
we finally agreed.
That's just where we agreed.
That's where we agreed.
Yeah, and no regrets. So, but make those decisions for yourself. I do know some couples that they do feel sometimes, you know, a nudge from the Holy Spirit or some leading from God to, you know, have another child. Okay. Here's my personal opinion. All right. This is not the Bible. All right. But if, and we understand that sometimes somebody has a child and then they're unable to get pregnant again. All right. And so that's an issue. But if you are able to make that decision, I would not recommend one, okay, as just a choice, because there's interaction with another sibling that is really awesome. And I do, you know, there are cases where somebody has one child and they just weren't able to have another child. And so, you know, that's, we understand that. I would also ask you to consider if you're, you know, in your 20s, in your 30s, don't decide to have zero kids. Okay, this is becoming more and more popular, and sometimes it's just because people want to, you know, go to Dubai and drive sports cars and
have good jobs, make a lot of money,
and
spend it.
And, you know, and keep their figure. And I just feel, man, from the Bible, you know, a mom and a dad, you've got an assignment to bring in a godly generation. Okay.
Now, if you do have a surprise, you know, we thought we were going to have two, and then I find out I'm pregnant. So if you have a surprise, I would just say real quick, as fast as you can, change your attitude and say, woohoo, another baby's on their way. I've seen people, they're so angry, both of them, and they're so angry about this child that they didn't plan on having. And even when the child's 12 years old, they know they weren't wanted.
Yeah.
You know, so from conception, there's this attitude, and that child knows it. So get happy anyway.
Yeah.
Just get happy. All right. And then also, if you can't get pregnant, there's this big taboo about adoption. And I don't get it, because I think adoption is a beautiful thing. If I could have talked him into that one, that would have happened. I think it's awesome that you can take a child that for whatever reason was put up for adoption, and you can take them into your home and you can love them like Christ loves you. I love that. But there's this taboo about it. But if you can't get pregnant, man, there's so many children out there that need a home. There's so many of them. And so if it's pressure from other people why you haven't done that, let's don't worry about what they think. All right.
And there's some great, great people in our church.
In our church that can help with that.
That are involved in adoptions, and it can be a very godly thing. Okay. So if you want any, we can answer questions or point you in the right direction if it comes to that. All right. We did have some questions from kids. Okay. From young people. And so some of it, you know, well, my mom doesn't do this. My dad doesn't do that. All right. Well, this was a series on parenting, not how you can figure out how your parents can be better. Okay. So there are two things. Children, the Bible says Ephesians 5, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay. So a child and what I understand about the language of the Bible, that child is someone who's in the home. Obey your parents. All right. Now, forever, we're also told to honor our parents. Now, obedience and honor are two different things. Okay. So we obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay. And it's the first commandment with benefit. You'll live a long life on the earth. Okay. But we are also to honor and respect our parents. As long as they're alive, we give them honor. Okay, so your parents might not be perfect, all right? They might not do everything right, but you obey them. Obey them in the Lord, for it's right.
As long as they're not going against the Word of God,
right?
You obey them. If they're asking you to do something that's sinful, if they're asking you to steal or to sleep with someone or to have an abortion, you don't obey them.
Right.
It's the only time that you don't get to is when they're going against God, when you're in their home. Okay.
Yep. But we honor them at all times. So, I don't know. Maybe we should have a 7-week "How to Be a Good Kid" series. I wouldn't have a lot to say because I wasn't a very good kid.
I do want to say this, though. You guys, we got a lot of questions from your teenagers that are possibly sitting next to you right now. And I think what they're crying out for your love. They're crying out for truth and grace from mom and dad, and they need you to talk to them. Okay? So you sat here all these weeks. You got a lot of tips. Start doing them with your children. Don't just go home and do things the same. All right? Take this stuff to heart and go love on your kids. Go grow them up and help them become the adults that they want to be. Because they're crying out for it. They really do want it.
Amen. Something that we are going to duplicate from the first service because it was just so much. And we also realized that we do have a lot of teenagers in this service as well. A lot of questions about media. All right. About movies, TV, cell phones, laptops, all that kind of stuff. So parents, our admonition to you is be engaged with your kids about their media. Okay, about what they're watching, about what they're consuming. All right. There is so much stuff in our world today that is utter nonsense. It is poison from the pit of hell. And sometimes as parents, we can be naive because 30 years ago, it just wasn't that way. And it is today. It wasn't this way 5 years ago or 10 years ago. All right. So a lot of questions about that. And so, questions about, what should the kids watch on TV or movies? And our opinion about this is if your child is in your home, you be Hitler. You be a dictator when it comes to what they're going to watch and what they're going to consume. Okay? You don't let them, you provide the food for them, don't you? You don't just let them eat cheesy poofs for supper at night. You control what they eat. You control what they eat by media. Okay? And so, you can block stuff on TV. If you work during the day and your kids...
Yeah, if you work during the day, your kids are home in the afternoon without you, and you're concerned that they might be flipping the TV on, then lock it up in your bedroom. Just unplug it, lock it in the bedroom. I'm serious. It's dangerous what is on television. It's dangerous. All right? Love them enough to lock it away so that you know what they're watching.
If they say they're going out with their friends to the movies, what movie? Oh, I don't know. We'll decide when we get there. No, you're not. You're going to decide right now. And you're going to tell me.
And then when they come home, you ask for the stub. You check on it.
Yeah.
Love them enough to know what they're up to. And don't allow them to do things that they shouldn't be doing. It's from a place of love again. Our children, up until they left for university, we knew the passwords of how to get into their Facebook, how to get on their computer. They knew it. They knew it. It was our agreement. Okay? You don't get to have Facebook until mom and dad know your password. You don't get to have a computer until we get on. Okay? I'm serious.
Yep.
And they knew it. They don't need to hide stuff from us. And you know what? By the way, I used the passwords and I went and checked. All right?
And parents, this is our advice. Okay? And teenagers, you're going to love me anyway. Don't hate. Don't be a hater. Hate is going to hate, right? If your kid is 18 years or old or under, get them a Nokia phone from 15 years ago.
No data.
No data. No, just texts. Just texts and phone calls.
Our kids had their first smartphones when they left for college and they paid for them themselves. Up till then, no smartphone.
Yeah. Not a lot of smart on the smartphones. Okay.
Yep.
All right. And all the teenagers said, I love my pastor. All right. But they, parents were saying, can we check their phones? Absolutely yes. Huh?
Can you check their diary? That was in first service. Yes, you can.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes.
Do you know what? If you've got relationship with your kids, none of this stuff is a big deal. The ones of you who are going, oh, it's probably because you don't have a relationship with your kids. Because if you do, they're already telling you all this stuff anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes.
Well, there were a couple. Okay. There were a couple.
Hey, you're the boss, okay? It's your house, okay? And that is it is not child abuse for them not to have data on their phone. It is not child abuse. It is love. It is love. It is care. Amen? Or it is managed very, very carefully. Okay? Folks, you realize that, I mean, child trafficking and all this kind of nonsense, it all happens through this.
Yeah.
Okay? And look, teenagers, you know, your right to data is not enshrined in the Bible nor the Zambian Constitution. Okay? So get over it. I you know, in dealing with young people here, I just don't find that, you know, too many awesome things happen with that. Yeah. All right. So, where were we? Go back to the end.
Go back to the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone asked a question. We'll just throw this real quick. A lot of y'all have said, Pastor Haley said the Proverbs 31 woman was single. She was. That's why I said it. She was a single woman. And as you go further along in it, it talks about talking to this married woman. But
yeah, these qualities of the Proverbs 31 woman are there in her life before she got married.
Yeah.
Okay. Talks about her husband. Talks about her kids. Rise up and call her blessed. But it's a shopping list for single men. All right. So it means that you can have these wonderful qualities in your life before you get married. Okay. Yeah. And you can be an awesome, awesome person with the help of Jesus. All right. So kind of want to wind up here. Maybe talk about somebody that said they were, how do you get over the fear?
I've had a few people come to me and then some emails and some questions. Just, I'm afraid to parent. They don't even have kids yet, but they're afraid because of where they came from and what they're seeing. And again, you've got to rely on God's grace for that. But the other thing I'd encourage you to do is go try to find a healthy family where you can go spend some time watching them parent. And just a personal story, back when my kids were 10 and 12, they were about to approach the teenage years, and I was just praying, and I said, God, I wasn't afraid of the teenagers, but I just said, I don't know how to do this right, all right? He had a lightning bolt family. I had a bit of dysfunction in our family, not as crazy as his, but there were some crazies, and so... So I was praying and I just said, I want to see someone do this right with teenagers. And I'm not kidding. 2 days after that prayer, I got an email from America, from great, great friends of ours, the Dunnocks, who Caesar got to spend time with when he was in America. And Amy, out of the blue, she says to me, Haley, are you coming to the States this summer? We'd be happy. We'd love to have you in our home. And I said, well, actually, it's just me and my kids. And she said, well, no, come stay with us for 2 weeks. I'm sitting at her house watching her with her two teenage boys, and watching her husband and watching her, and literally observing. One of the kids during that time did something naughty at school. I watched how dad handled that. They had devotions every morning, talking with grace and truth and straightness. And I credit a lot of our raising of our teenagers to the Dunnocks because God positioned me there for 2 weeks. But I prayed and I asked him. And so I think if you're fearful, find healthy parents who've done it mostly right. I don't think any of us have done it right. I think we've all got our issues, but who have done it mostly right, and just ask God to open your eyes and to help you see.
Yeah.
And then to call upon his grace. All right.
Yeah.
He's a redeemer of your past and the way you were brought up, and he will help you to do this thing right. And then the one other thing I want to say is things that were done wrong to you growing up, you probably said, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. Well, you can't just, I'll never do that. You've also got to very clearly profess, what are you going to replace that with? What are you going to replace that with? When dad disciplined me, he threw me out. He threw me out of the house. Well, what are you going to replace that with? I'm going to give discipline with truth and grace. I'm going to always show my child how much I love them after the, you know, once we're done with that, they're going to know that mom and dad love them. You've got to replace it with something else. Okay, so in some ways, I actually said this to Walker, I think it's a bit of a healthy fear. Okay, it's okay to have a bit of a fear, but get your answers as well. Mm-hmm. And then call upon the grace of God.
Right. And there we've got in our bookshop, there's a whole section, 24 different books on parenting, mm-hmm, from a Christian perspective. Yeah. And so there are incredible, incredible resources that you can build into your life. Okay. But I do want to really caution you, you know, none of us would go try to fly an airplane having never flown an airplane. Okay? And just because you can have a child doesn't mean you know how to raise a child. It is not inherent, okay? And so we need to build the Word of God and the principles of God into our life. Well, I'm just going to do it like my dad did it. Well, was your dad Jesus? Was your dad perfect? Okay, let's supplement everything and let's build a foundation of the Word of God. And then just in closing, some parents that wrote and just felt, you know, what do I do? I've messed up. There's so much that I didn't do right, and I don't know what to do. And we might not have all the answers, but our God is a Redeemer. And that was one of the things that Job said, and Job didn't even know what was happening to him, all right? He didn't even know there was a devil who was attacking his life. But one of the things he said was, I know my Redeemer lives. And James tells us that Job experienced the end intended by the Lord, all right? And so you may have... There may be a lot of tough things that you're facing in your family and with your kids, but there is an end that is intended by the Lord, and He's a Redeemer, and He can fix, and He can take what was broken, and He can mend it. He can restore the years that the cankerworm ate. I know a friend of mine whose dad was very, very harsh and overbearing and critical and really ignored him, and he went... because of that, I mean, he was a drug dealer. He fought people. He had a real bad streak. And he told me, he said, you know, 30 years old, 31, 32, 33, he said, God's restoring relationship with my dad. His dad is a pastor. And he said, we're closer than we ever have been. And all those years that didn't happen, they're happening now. And it's a really big deal to him. So start now. Let God fix it today. Amen. Now, all the moms and dads, if you have a child in your home, okay, so if you're a grandparent and, you know, the kids are gone, we'll pray, won't ask you to stand. But if you are a mom and dad, you've got kids in the home, or you're a guardian, you've got dependents, I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray for you today. Stand to your feet. If you're here with your, if you're here with your spouse, just hold their hand right now. If you're not standing, we'd ask you really just stretch out your hand. Heard in the first service, it was an 8-year-old boy that stretched out his hand for his dad. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Because these moms and dads that are standing right now, it's a big deal. It is not easy, all right? But there is eternity at stake. And there's a generation. And we both actually feel by the Spirit of God that the generation that we are raising right now is going to shake this nation to its core for God. And some of us are going to live long enough to see it. But we're all going to have our fingerprint on it because we helped raise someone, a difference maker, a planet shaker. Amen. So parents, right now, we're just going to pray for you in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, for dads and for moms, Lord, we ask for your help and your anointing. Holy Spirit, you were sent to us, and you abide and you live within us, and you are the great helper. You are God with us, God in us. Father, we realize so many times we don't have what it takes. It doesn't seem like we know what to do. Holy Spirit, thank you. You're inside of us. We have your word. Father, we have resources. We have the body of Christ. So, Father, wherever we are deficient, right now, Father, I thank you that you would make up the difference in Jesus' name. Lord, where there have been wasted years, Father, we thank you for multiplying them back to us in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. You said in these days, you spoke in your word, that the hearts of sons would turn to their fathers, and the hearts of fathers would turn to their sons. And, Father, we proclaim and believe that that is happening today. The hearts of daughters are turning toward their mothers. The hearts of mothers are turning toward their daughters. Lord, we're engaging our children with you. God, where we've messed up, we confess our sin. We confess our negligence. We confess our ignorance. But Father, we will refuse to live that way from today on. We refuse to live in the past. God, what was handed to us, perhaps from dysfunction of our own family, we leave it. We leave it in Jesus' name. We'll face the fire, we'll face the persecution, but we will raise our kids according to your word, not according to the whims of our grandparents, not according to a bully uncle, Father. We will stand for you, and we will represent you on planet Earth, Father, with our kids. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up our kids right now. Father, whether they're 2 months or whether they're 32, Father, have your hand upon them. We declare all of our children are taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace. Great shall be the prosperity of our children. You said it in your word, Father, and we believe it's happening.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you in Jesus' name for dads and moms, Father, people rising up. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to help one another. Let us be an encouragement. Let iron sharpen iron. Lord, where we've messed up, we'll be open and honest, Lord, that other parents don't have to follow in that. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you're here with your spouse right now, just look them, just right now, just consecrate with them. Just turn to them right now. And maybe there's one or two things that you need to come into agreement with them and say, you know what? We're starting the family devotions. We're starting that family prayer time. Parents have already said we're turning off the TV for supper time. We're connecting with our kids. Right now, just turn
to
them.
Guys, look at them. Look at them.
If you're here with your spouse, turn to them. Just turn to them and say, you know what? We're doing this. All right? Father, thank you right now for unity in these families. Father, for husbands and wives who will speak with one voice, with one heart. Father, perhaps with different personalities, Lord, even different opinions, Father. But there will be a united front for Jesus and against sin for their families. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you. We love you. We praise you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So as you guys that are standing, when you walk out today, we took all the messages that we've done, and this is the Parenting with Purpose Declaration. So if it's the parents that are standing, when you walk out outside the foyer, these will be available for you just to declare these things over your children and about how you're going to parent, and I think God's going to be a blessing and help you with that. Amen? Okay, and just sit. I've got one more thing on my heart. The majority of questions that came in, and I think it was actually closer to 300, not 200, but the majority that came in, if you really looked at them, a lot of them were more marital disagreement. That was the majority of the stuff. And we have a marriage seminar in 1 week, and very few couples have signed up to come. And as I was reading through them this week and just reading through these questions, I just thought, God, we're giving them help for this marriage seminar, but then you're choosing not to come. Because here's the thing, your parenting is going to only be as good as you are as an individual or as we are as a couple. And so if you're not going to invest, what is it, 200 kwacha, I think it is? If you can't invest 200 kwacha in your marriage to have a better marriage and then to be a better parent, I don't even know why you have kids or why you got married. I know people that have very healthy marriages and they purpose once a year to go do something for their marriage, whether it's going out of town for a weekend or going to see a counselor just because. We all need help with our marriages. And today's the last day, all right? And so, again, I want to implore you. You're fretting over and you're fearful over raising your children. If your marriage isn't right, come to the marriage seminar. Go sign up today. Pete and Marcia Frost poured out their hearts to you last week. They were so vulnerable about what God did in them. And I've watched them change. I've watched their kids change. All right? And it was the result of taking a big step of saying, yes, we need help. And like we said too, even if you don't need help, come make your marriage better. We're coming. We signed up. We've got our ticket. We're coming. You need to come as well. All right? The more healthy you are, the more healthy you can be as a parent.
Awesome. Thanks. All right. Let's pray. Let's look to God today. Father, Lord, we thank you that you're helping us. God, that Lord, there's so much of life, Father, that we don't get without you. We need you. And Father, thank you that you're helping us. Father, thank you that, Lord, those who are thirsty shall be filled. Lord, those who seek you, they will find you. And Lord, I thank you that you're equipping us by your word and by your spirit in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, some of what we talked about today was about bad choices and sin and the destruction that happens. Song we sang today about the Lord, Ani Doba, Ani Suka. See, you can't do that for yourself. You can't change your life. Only God can wash you. Only God can raise you. And there's a lot of thinking in our world today of how you can be a better you by yourself. You need Jesus. You need a Savior. You need someone who took your place, who took your sin, and who has the power to make you into a different person. And the whole Bible is filled with stories of people who change. People who, when they encounter God, they are no longer the same person. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ, He can change your life. You can overcome every sin. You can overcome every obstacle with Him. He'll change your life. If you're a Christian who's backslidden, you've turned your back on God, come home today. He will wash you. He will raise you back into that place of fellowship. You can come home today. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know Jesus, or I've turned my back on Him, but I need to follow Jesus personally. I need to know Him. Wherever you are, simply right now, I'd ask you to raise your hand. Say, Pastor, I want to pray today. I want to accept Jesus Christ. I want to come home to Him. Just lift up your hand. Today can be the first day of brand new beginnings, wherever you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. God bless you, sir. What a great, great decision. What a great decision. Who else will say, that's me? Thank you. Over there, yep. Who else? Over here, thank you so much. Say, Pastor, I need Jesus, and I'm ready to receive Him. I'm ready to put my trust in Him. I want to follow Him for the rest of my days. Thank you, thank you. Well, can we all stand to our feet? We're going to go just in a couple minutes. Thank you, Lord. If you lifted up your hand, I ask you, just grab your Bible, whatever you brought with you to church, and just come and meet me up front. I want to pray with you individually. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. What a great, great decision. Can we give these folks a big hand clap? Just tell them, way to go. Encourage those that are coming. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. He is good. Before we pray, anybody, or maybe you thought I should have lifted up my hand. Just come. Just come. There's room for you. All right. Way to go. Way to go. All right. Now, if I were going to give you this gift, how would you get it? All right. Thank you so much. You would just reach out and receive that. All right. So I'd ask you just to reach up your hand towards heaven, because we're going to receive His grace, His love, His forgiveness right now. Just say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me. I believe you sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. You raised Him from the dead. I put my faith in Him. I turn away from every wrong thing, from every sin, and I follow Jesus now. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. I belong to you. I am born again. In your name I pray. Amen.